ESPN special only on Under Cover Tapes. Hey everybody, welcome to a new UCPN special. I'm your host and CEO of Comic Crusaders, the one and only Al Mega. And today I am joined by one of my awesome Comic Crusaders and UCPN podcasters, a panelist on The Definitive Crusade, the hostess of The Dynamic Convergence, the one and only Tracer Sayers. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me today. I'm so excited.
No, thanks for joining us, because we got one awesome guest today.
Yes, we do.
People have seen him, you know, play bit roles and a lot of cool movies and TV shows. He's been making a big presence, and now he is coming over to the world of comics. It's one of his first books that he's written. And a person that's gone through personal struggle and has overcome, which is also something I'm very happy to discuss here as well, because I'm proud of stuff like that, because I have family members who've gone through things. I'm talking about the incredible, the one and only Mr. David Desmarchin.
Thank you. Oh, man, that is an awesome introduction. I want to take you with me everywhere now, Al.
No worries. Joe St. Pierre already, he's an artist, a local artist out here. And anytime I go to a convention, I love talking to him. And I always wind up selling a book for him. He says for the next convention, he's just going to hide me under the table. And as soon as somebody seems iffy, I'm just going to pop up and say, hey, you got to buy this book.
Dude, I got to get you on the phone with me. I've been calling retailers all over the United States to tell them about what we're going to talk about today. And it's like, oh, man, you know, for a guy that has been acting for now many years and being in front of people a lot, I still get so nervous having to do that. So thanks. I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to make sure I get, your number. And I'll be like, Al, you said you were coming, man.
Let's get it done. I would definitely love to talk about your book, because you have an awesome book coming out from Dark Horse Comics really, really soon. And I've read the book. I fell in love with the style. It has a very 70s horror-ish feel, you know, it's a 70s horror based in the 80s with some lot of throwback stuff, but dealing with some issues as well based on the main character. So let's get into this. Tracy?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so Ken Crowley, reluctant midnight monster hunter, it just screams out, read me, to me. But David, for you, like, let's go back to the kind of roots before we jump into the book itself. Growing up, obviously you're from Kansas yourself, and what were your inspirations with comics? Like, what did you read?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And can I just really quickly say, that was so just hearing you guys say, like, oh, like you're saying the name of my comic, it's becoming a reality. Like, I know we don't hit the shelves for a couple more weeks, but like, I'm getting tingles right now just hearing you guys, like, and hearing Al say, like, from Dark Horse Publishers, I was like, oh my God, this is real. This is not a dream anymore. So I think my excitement is probably understandable. Obviously, you guys are very passionate about this medium. Growing up in Kansas, in a small suburb outside of the city, basically, one day, I'd always been fascinated by the imagery I'd seen that was represented through comics and watching, you know, like Super Friends and things like that, and had been like very curious about and fascinated by what comics were. And I there was a convenience store near our house that I walked into once, and they had a spinning rack. I was in about third grade, and it was staring at me this vision of, at that time, the core members of the Avengers staring down Maelstrom. It was number 249,
and
the cover was in the heyday of that early 80s, really bright colors, really sharp line look that I asked my dad, can I have this? And they said, sure. So they got it for me, and I read it over and over and over, and I started tracing with tracing paper, the cover, and I kept it in really good shape. In fact, I still have it to this day. But I
That's a comic fan. Because I still got my very first comic book, as beat up as it is, and I bought a new one just to have it, you know. But mine's is tore up. How is yours?
So here's the thing. When I finally met Stan Lee, when I was doing the first Ant-Man movie, he came to do his cameo, and I brought a couple of key comics in me to talk to him about how important that you know, the work of Marvel had been on my life. And and I was telling him that I have a son and a daughter now. I said, I'm nervous my kids are going to be like, I'm going to show them all these comics I've been so pristinely saving all these years, and they're going to like shrug and be like, yeah, but how do I throw a spiral or how do I throw a curveball? And I'm going to be like, I don't know. And Stan takes my Avengers 249 without even me asking, and he pulls out a Sharpie and he writes right on the cover, to my good friend Arlo, which is my son's name at the time. My daughter hadn't been born yet. He's my good friend Arlo, your friend Stan Lee. And now I have it framed and it sits above my desk, and I look at it all the time, man.
I can't imagine how cool is that. I mean,
that's the dream, you know what I mean? I think for anybody who's a comic fan, it's like meeting the king and being like, wow.
His work had a huge influence. I found my comic shop soon after that called Clint's Comics, and I started to really explore. And the wonderful thing about comic shops, like brick and mortar shops, is you go in to find your next Avengers or your next Batman, and then all of a sudden you start finding indie titles or Conans or Mad magazines. I found so many things that I didn't know about before then. So by sixth grade, I became a pretty serious collector, and I also found a lot of joy and creative inspiration in those walls. And then the other big inspiration, when I look back on my life, and something that influenced me a lot was, I grew up in a very religious household, and so horror and rock and roll and things like that were very much, you know, the bad thing. So I used to sneak downstairs. I tiptoe downstairs on Friday night when everyone was asleep, and I would turn on Cremation Mortem's Friday Nightmare, which was our local creature feature in Kansas City, and she introduced me to all my early heroes as far as film goes, you know, Boris Karloff and Lon Chaney and Chaney Jr. and all those guys. So I grew up, you know, and so around the age of 12, I came up with this idea, and I'd seen The Lost Boys, where they used horror comics to figure out how to kill vampires.
I love that movie.
Fright Night, and I just kept thinking, how cool would it be if there was a horror host that's cover was actually, you know, being a horror host, but really they were fighting monsters? And that idea is, you know, it's a cool idea. It's a fun idea. You could do a lot visually with like monsters and stuff, but it never had like a purpose for me. And then I grew up and I started dealing with some more difficult issues in my life, including shame that came from both my struggle with addiction and my battle with depression. And I think that shame is just such a powerful, dark emotion, and it's so well represented by monsters, and especially by bad monsters, because I think there's good monsters and there's bad monsters, and I think we see that in real life. And so to answer a long answer to your question, sorry, is that basically once I became a grown-up and I started battling all these things and facing what I came to realize are real monsters in our real world, I had my hook. Then I had my in, and I understood what Jerry's journey was going to be about, and it was about...
That's actually something I wanted to ask you about when you say about your in. Obviously, the main character, Jerry, she has her... she has an alcohol dependency, and, you know, obviously, there's a lot of people who understand that, but coming from your own background of addiction, did you find that was a very cathartic thing to do to kind of release, or was it that you had that in that you knew what her mindset would be?
It's both. I have the understanding, I believe. I have a lot of... I've 17 years of being clean and sober this year.
Congrats.
I have a lot of... Thank you. Imagine if I was Van Helsing. That's like saying 17 years I've been killing vampires without...
Yeah.
Dying. That doesn't mean that tomorrow I could let my guard down and the vampire could sneak in the window and get me back. So the battle that I've been waiting, as well as with my depression, you know, I found the power of group therapy, as well as cognitive behavioral therapy, as well as medication, as well as my spiritual journey and family and community and all these things that go together with helping me support a healthy mental health for myself. And by the way, comic books are a huge part of that, because they are my resource for escape, as well as for catharsis, as well as for learning. So
Scott Snyder said the exact same thing. We were very lucky to chat with him recently, and he, again, his own battle with mental health, like yourself, comic books are saviors in many ways. I know myself personally with my mental health struggles, and my writing is what helps me, you know. bring myself back, and I completely
it helps keep us alive. And it, the fact that we can even talk about it like this, and Scott, I mean, he's a hero of mine. I'm so jealous you guys get to sit and talk with him, and hopefully I'll get to meet him at some point. I just found my in with this. Now, here's the funny thing, you guys. Okay, so now, as a full-up grown-up who still, you know, goes every Wednesday to get my comics, blah, 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 I never imagined I was going to write a comic book. I just seemed so out of my grasp. I've written two independent films, and I have some other films that are in the works right now. So when I came up with my idea for Count Crowley, by the way, it was not initially to be a comic book. I thought it was going to be this awesome movie. Then I thought it would be an awesome book. Then I thought it would be an awesome TV series, because I was like, I've now got probably I'm up to like 20 different plots that I created with different monster battles, etc.
That happens so easy.
I thought this might be a great TV show. So I sat down for advice with a man named Peter Lenkoff, who's a intense comic book collector as well as the creator of many successful TV shows and movies. And Peter said to me, tell me about your idea, because I can't give you advice unless you tell me what the idea is. And I started explaining to him Jerry and Jerry's journey and discovering that monsters are real and that they've been infiltrating the media and blah, blah, blah. And Peter stopped me and he was like, I need you to meet a friend of mine. I need you to meet Mike Richardson at Dart. He's like, I think this would be an amazing TV show. He's like, but I also think it would be an incredible comic book. And so he set up this meeting for me with Dark Horse. And you guys, it was on my birthday a year ago. I went down to San Diego Comic-Con. I sat with Mike and a bunch of the rest of the team at Dark Horse. And they basically said, we love this idea. We want to develop it with you. We'd love to give you an initial run to see what you do with it and start, you know, working with an editor and learn how to write actual comic scripts, because it's very similar to writing screenplays, but it's different and you're going to have a lot of learning to do. So I dug. I mean, it was, that's how it came. I mean, that's how it happened. It's almost like, you know, me calling you guys and being like, any chance you guys like comic books? Because I was thinking maybe you could help me, you know. It's crazy.
Doing a pitch, I think, is probably one of the hardest things you have to do as a writer. I think coming up to somebody and showing them your soul on a piece of paper, and they're going, please don't crush me.
And, I didn't even imagine that they would say, I mean, it was funny, they were almost tentative, like, how do you feel about doing it as a comic book? And I was like, do you know who you're talking to? I freaked out. And we got to just go to San Diego this past July, where Dark Horse announced Count Crowley. I walked onto the floor, and there was a 12-foot-high cover of Count Crowley on the wall at Dark Horse, and my wife and I both started crying. It was pretty amazing.
How many selfies did you take with that?
I'll send probably 30 to 50, maybe. I went crazy. We filmed an entire 1 minute of us looking at the thing from about 200 yards away, and then a friend of ours who was with us goes, guys, why don't you go closer before you start filming?
I started hearing music in the background. When you saw the sign, right?
I floated.
Well, with amazing. That, like, I just was wondering, because obviously that's such an amazing experience to see your book, and now it'll be out in a couple of weeks, and, you know, what do you want your readers to get from it? Because you know what you get.
First of all, I want to entertain the hell out of them. I want people to have so much fun with this comic book, because to me, you guys, I mean, you've seen it now, if you've seen issue one, I Megan Walker, who's an incredible editor at Dark Horse and who has been working with me, she's who, when I was giving her a composite of artists, you know, work that I really love and who I thought would be a good fit, she had a relationship with Lucas before. And so she reached out to him and said, you know, how do you feel, you know, about this? And he liked the idea. Then he read my first script and he sent an initial sketch of what he thought it would look like. And I flipped out. I was like, oh my God. So I want people to have so much fun and be completely carried away and entertained by this. I also, though, at the same time, hope that I can present them with some really awesome, cool, and unique, you know, and challenging character arcs and plot lines, because as you guys know, and as we've announced with the comic book, Jerry, you know, who's struggling with alcoholism, the only job she can get is this creature feature host, and it turns out the guy she replaced was one of the last appointed monster hunters, and monsters are real. They're in our world. But what will be fun for me is everybody from the casual, oh, I like horror, to the hardcore horror nerds like me, when they dive into the book, they're going to think that they know the mythology, like, oh, I know how we kill a werewolf. I know how you stop a vampire. And the reality Jerry learns is that all that mythology that's been fed to us for generations now is a lie. It's a complete myth. And the reality of how you kill these and stop these monsters is much harder. It's much harder than a stake in the heart. It's much more difficult than a silver bullet. There will be, I don't know how it would ever happen. I mean, she may face this epidemic at some point, but I don't know how you would stop, you know, a dozen vampires charging into a room at one time the way that you're going to have to stop them. So
I'll play dead.
All that.
This is just, it's more and more, the more you speak about it, the passion you have about it, it's just so enticing. Yeah, like going forward, like, are we looking at, we want to make this into a full, you know, continuation every week, or are you thinking about giving it a set amount of issues
what? I've got a couple of years right now ready to go in me.
Yes!
So I would love to, and this is, you know, this is what's great about you guys talking to me right now, because everybody who's gonna, you know, listen to you is going to find out about this. And I, you know, if retailers and comic shops and people at conventions and comic collectors aren't aware of the book in the first place, they're not going to even pick it up. And then if they do pick it up, I hope I've done my job as a writer in creating something that's really, you know, entertaining and engaging. I know Lucas has done his job for
he's nothing amazing.
Else, guys, you need to buy this book because the art is so incredible, but
it is.
But if people buy it and if it does well, my dream is to keep going for, I mean, I've never said forever except when I got married, but I believe that I would love to do Crowley forever. And I also have to just appreciate this moment. If it's a 4-issue limited series and that's what I get, then I'm grateful and I'm so thankful. And but I'm going to fight tooth and nail like a real monster hunter to get as many issues as I can get written.
Excellent.
I believe you're going to go very far with this.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you've got the passion.
Yeah. And not just the passion, too. I think he's built an incredible team, because the artwork by Lucas is amazing. But, you know, Lauren, coloring. Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah,
really
amazing with the situation.
Yeah, I'm in love with coloring.
And then the lettering is great. Frank, everybody forgets to mention the letterer, so I always give a shout out.
Thank you, letterers. Without them, we wouldn't be able to read it.
That's right.
I know. Isn't it great, too? Yeah, so he just, what was really cool when we started, you know, the process is first you get your your pencils from your artist, and he's showing you what he thinks everything's going to probably look like. And then we have a quick discussion, but so far you guys, every time Lucas turns in his pencils, I just go, I would buy that. Like it's very little, you know, that notes, whatever. Sometimes it's a clarification about, you know, oh, this is happening on a Thursday, so we need this to make sure to clarify that this next thing happens on Friday, stuff like that, you know, more technical issues.
Yeah.
Then he goes into his inks. Then it goes, you know, it goes off for color, and I freak out because I wait, you know, and you go, oh man, I can't wait until this is gonna come out, and then you see, you know, it usually takes maybe, I don't know, like a couple of weeks for Lauren to turn in her colors, and the first time that she did that, I sat down with Evan again. I mean, I'm gonna have this probably a million times, but I had the most emotional like experience, like looking at this piece of work that was, it's so perfect. She captures like the tone, you know, the feeling that I wanted so perfectly that because color is you think like, oh, color is just color, right? No, it is like the palette that a cinematographer uses when they're painting, you know. And so then that happened, and then all of a sudden you see Frank's letters and you go, he nailed that 80s vibe that I wanted so perfectly. So I, you're right, the team that's around this, I hope they've been enjoying working with me. Maybe you guys, hopefully you can interview them at some point and find out, but
we'll take them all
from what they've put out as a comic. They most definitely have. You can always tell when somebody enjoys it. Like, and I know you talked about Lauren there and the colors, and there was little things in the comic that I was looking at that I loved, like little bits of, you know, the wine down the side of her face when she put on her own makeup. Those kind of stylized moments that were so 80s, but so they were so. Encapsulating of that particular moment, and it just drew me straight into that panel. That my mind was blown. And there was one thing I want to make a little nod to, because I thought it was hilarious, and I kind of had to put the comic and stop for a second because I was laughing. I love your little tell mom I'm sorry for Toto.
Well, that's, I'm glad you caught that too, because that's actually going to be an important plot point later in our story. So. Good eye. Thank you very much. And yes, I love that you got that landed.
And I love your humor in it too, because we have our sound guy in UCPN, and we, you know, make fun of the sound guy. And you had one moment of the sound guy with hearing problems that had me dying. He's the sound guy. Like, what did he say? Oh, I don't know. He's hard of hearing. It's like, oh my God, this is our sound guy here. You know him? That made me laugh so loud.
And it's going to be really fun for me too, because these guys that have been working with, you know, the previous Count Crowley, a guy named Rich Barnes, who's gone missing. It's going to be fun because maybe they know a little more about stuff than we think they do. I want to build an ensemble out. Obviously, Gary's the hero of my story, but ultimately, I really do want to build out an interesting ensemble, and her relationship with her brother and how much he means to her is really important to me. How much the guys that work on her show. Like I said, I really hope I get to keep going with this, because there's so many characters that I can't wait to introduce to.
Only project at the moment? Is she your only written comic project?
It's my only comic book. Yes, and it's all. I'm putting all my I have an acting career that I love, and I'm so lucky. I get to do really neat, wonderful things as an actor. But this is my
that's your new baby
on the clock passion right now. This is my every free moment when the kids don't need me or when I'm not on set. Like I said, I've been trying to phone call 249 comics retailers around the country, and I call from my cell phone, so I block my number because I didn't really want to give out my personal phone number to 250 strangers. But you know, a lot of people think I'm a telemarketer, or they think that, but once I get to connect with people and talk about it, it's been a really positive experience.
I got two shops for you right here. I got two shops right here for you in Massachusetts, Rubber Chicken Comics and Friendly Neighborhood Comics. I'm sure they would love to dig into this.
Oh, I'm pulling up my list right here.
Make a little note.
I talked to a couple really cool guys in Massachusetts at a couple of different shops. Unfortunately, my spreadsheet is organized by alphabetically, so I don't know. Oh yeah, what did you say the names were? Tell me. Let's give these
Friendly Neighborhood
shout out anyway.
Friendly Neighborhood Comics in Bellingham,
okay,
as well as Rubber Chicken Comics, also in Bellingham. Two of my favorite spots out here. When one doesn't have something, the other does.
Will you do me a favor? I would love to send them a signed. I'm going to sit down with Lucas next week. I'm going to meet Lucas at Rose City Comic Con in Portland, and he and I have never met in person yet. We've done all of our interacting through texting and phone calls and Skyping, and so we're going to meet in Portland listen to this, you guys. Me and Lucas are going to meet. We're going to sign as many of these limited posters as we can that Dark Horse gave us. And so if you will let those shops know, I would love to send them. I'll reach out to them, but if you let them know to expect to hear from me,
absolutely.
I would love to send them.
They'll and be excited. I'll Facebook them in a minute.
In Portland is Roberta Solomon, who was the original Cremation Mortem, which was my creature feature host.
Yeah.
She's going to be there, so I'm going to get to hang out with Roberta.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
It is amazing. Wow, so something you grew up... It's like all your passions are just coming together, man. You know, you went through a rough patch in life, but, you know, but thank God, you know, you're on this path now, and it's like you're being blessed. Roads are opening, and that is just amazing, brother.
I think that with fandom like that, comic fandom, not even just comic fandom, but geek fandom, nerd fandom, whatever you want to call it, we're such an inclusive community. That, you know, you're going to find so many new avenues to get, and it is an amazing experience.
It is. You know, I travel all over the world with my job, and I've worked in different cities all over the place. And every one of the first things I do when I get to a new city is I find the local comic shop, and I go, and I always end up making friends with new people in new cities. And I'm not a drinker, obviously, so I don't go to bars. I love music. I like going to music venues, but the whole time you're there, you're usually listening to music. You don't get to talk to people. So I go to the comic shop, and I've met old and young, every gender, every race, every walk of life, people that and one thing that we all share in common is this love for this modern mythology, this way of telling stories. Al, just to sidetrack really quickly, is Rubber Chicken, do you know where they came up with the name for that shop? Because another good friend of mine who's also an inspiration in the Count Crowley world is Sven Gulli, and they, you know, Rubber Chickens are a big part of the Sven Gulli show. I wonder if they're fans of Sven Gulli.
I'm pretty sure, because I know that the shop has existed since, I believe, since about the 90s, so I'm pretty sure that there's some tie-in somewhere to that.
That's awesome. That makes sense.
I'm sure.
I want to digress slightly as well. Obviously, your comic's great, but this is obviously the question I ask all writers, if you could write any comic character, if they somebody came up to you and went, right, there you go, who would you like to write and why?
Morbius. I've always been a huge fan of Morbius, and there's something to me about that anti-hero, about the individual that's infected with a disease that is so hard, like with Blade as well. You know, I love Blade, but for me, Morbius, I didn't know about Blade honestly until I was like later in high school when I started to discover the character Blade. But it was like sixth grade when I was reading Blood of Dracula and all the old classic, you know, horror comics. Then I came across Morbius because I was reading a Spider-Man comic and he was battling Morbius. And I was like, wait, who is this guy? And so Morbius, I would love to do a run of, and I think there's so many layers and levels of complexity that are yet to be explored, especially when you mash up the heroic with the vampiric mythologies. Werewolf by Night is another one that I would love to see brought, because I think with now what they're doing, the interesting and wonderful thing with Spider-Man that's happening, obviously there's a lot of cool things happening with Spider-Man, but one of the things is just getting back and re-exploring like what those teen years can look like for an individual. And I think that the werewolf mythology ties really well into like somebody that might be at his school or in the community that is, again, there are good monsters. There's like Steven will hopefully come to care about that guy that grabs Jerry in the parking lot in issue one. You know, he's pleading for help. He's begging for help, you know. And then obviously there are purely evil entities and bad monsters out in the world as well. But there are some good monsters. And
then there's the in-between.
Yeah, can you save a good monster? That's an important question, right? Like, can you save a good monster? Do I have a relative out there who, because of their twisted or lack of education, or some of their ingrained prejudices because of the way that they were raised, I know they're good people. Can I pull that that brokenness, that stuff that I really know is wrong about their views on the world, out of them, and can we, is there that good person in there still that we can fight for? And I believe there is, because right now what's going on in the world and is scary, and we got to believe that there's good in everybody, even in the good, especially in the good monsters. Some of the bad monsters, I don't know what we do with them, but we'll figure that out.
We'll show them how to shower and wash off their spray tan.
David, you mentioned that you're a Morbius fan, right? And that's your go-to. So are you looking forward to the possible Morbius movie with Jared Leto as Morbius? How do you feel about
it? Sure. Yeah. You know, there is a nature of when you're an actor, I'm very realistic. I've been blessed I think I'm a complete dreamer. You know, Kermit taught me to dream big. Jim Henson taught me to dream big as a little boy. My family encouraged me to dream big. So I dream big and I envision myself in everything from, you know, I see myself in certain villain characters as an actor. I've seen myself, one of my life dreams is to portray a Bond villain.
You have to look for that too, brother. So yeah, I think you're good away.
Oh
with
yeah.
It, bro.
but I did always have this dream of getting a shot at Morbius, as Michael, the incredible scientist with this rare blood disease, who is just he's so much to me. So when they announced it, I mean, of course, there's a little bit of like professional envy. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I hope that it's an amazing film, because I think it's an amazing character. That one of the wonderful things about the renaissance of comic book movies right now is, I mean, I'm sure you guys have noticed this, but 10 years ago when I was in a comic shop, it felt like it was only guys and girls that looked like me, maybe my age, a little bit younger, a lot older. And I go into shops now and I just see so many more 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 year olds than I did 10 years ago. And I believe that the movies have helped that. And I just hope that people will continue to understand why, you know, brick and mortar shops are so vital and important to this is one of those industries, this is one of those formats, one of those mediums where, as grateful as I am for some of the awesome digital comics that are being published digitally, especially by independent artists, the medium cannot move to a digital medium platform exclusively. We need paper books, we need brick and mortar shops for the...
Yeah. You want that feeling. There's nothing better than your new comic in your hand, you know, when you go and collect them from your pull list.
There's nothing like that feeling, and it's the only way that you walk in, like I said, and then you wander and you go, wait, what is this house of secrets? What is this, you know, what is this interesting cover? What is this thing? And then you go, oh, wow. That's how you discover, you know, and I think that, I think that the movies have been really helpful in driving kids back into comic shops.
All right.
So if you could bring Crowley to a movie screen in the future, or even to a TV screen, who would you get to play Jerry? Like,
I don't have the answer for that yet. You know, I think that she's got the complexity and the edge of some of the actors who I love so much right now, like Kristen Ritter and Karen Gillan. And there's just so many awesome, talented, incredible actors. Oh gosh, I'm blanking on her name right now. I'm really embarrassed. I love that show Glow so much. And I don't know why I can't think of that incredible actor's name, but anyway, you guys know what I'm saying. Allison Brie. God, there's so many talented actors out there. Who knows? She's out there somewhere. I don't know. I think about it more though, because a lot of people ask me that, and I always kind of stumble and fumble because I don't know. It's interesting. I've made two independent films so far, and my lead characters have both been women. And when then I've acted in them as well, playing opposite these women, and so I've been present for the casting. And when they've come in, or when they've started their work on the film, and they start their performance, I'm always introduced to the character in this way that it's like the first time I saw Lucas's artwork. It's like I've been dreaming about Count Crowley for 25 years. And then I'm looking at Jerry for the first time face to face. It's so hard to describe. It's like I know Jerry through and through. I know everything about her DNA, about her brain, about her soul, I think. And then I look at why collaboration is so important. I look at Lucas's his work and I go, oh my God. I'm looking at something that I've known for 25 years, but yet I'm seeing it for the first time. I think it'll be that way whenever I see, knock on wood, pray, but whenever this comes to the being something that could be brought to life through film or television, like seeing Jerry step onto a set. Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm getting goosebumps.
I'm getting them for you too. It is. I think it's the most exciting time when you just start and you put something out there and you're just waiting then for people to come back to so that you can see where you can go with it. It's probably one of the most exciting feelings any writer can have.
It is. It's so hard to describe, and I'm going to when the comic comes out, I'm going to fly back home to Kansas City. I'm going to go to Clint's Comics I'm going to get to buy, think about this, you guys, I'm going to get to buy Count Crowley off the shelf of the comic shop that was where I first bought comics. I'm going to get to go there.
You're just going to pull it off the shelf and you're going to look at that name there. You know who that is?
Yeah, oh, totally. I'm going to stand there all day. Here's a really a funny
thing. Should just do a signing. Happened. Just be like, okay, come on, everybody, buy my book and I'll sign it for you.
Like, what book? Wait.
I'm going to do a signing in a town called Lawrence, Kansas, which is about half an hour from where I grew up and where I spent a lot of time as well at a comic shop out there. Then I'm going to go up to Chicago to the shop that I used to spend all my weekend money called Graham Crackers. It's an awesome comic shop downtown Chicago. I'm going to do one there. I'm going to go in Atlanta. There's this awesome comic shop called Oxford Comics. I'm going to do a signing there. So anybody listening out there who's got a comic shop that wants me to come through, you guys let me know. Reach out to Dark Horse or email me directly. Contact David@gmail.com and you can just let me know because I'm trying to. I travel so much.
Are you coming to New York?
Figure out where I'll be.
You're going to
be at New York Comic Con.
I'm gonna meet you there, brother. I don't think we've announced that yet.
What's that?
Yeah, we're in there as press, so I definitely want to hook up and meet you in person, man. Hello.
Oh yeah, dude, you got to come. You got to come. I may even be. I don't know if you saw the trailer that Dark Horse put out.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah, Dr. Fearless, I believe, may be making an appearance at New York Comic Con.
You heard it here first.
There we go. That's awesome.
We got the exclusive.
Yeah, man.
You do. You have the exclusive. I believe that Dr. Fearless may be donning the cape and showing up to scare people and take lots of pictures and talk about Count Crowley.
Yeah. I'm going to share that within the podcast so people know what we're talking about right on the bottom of the podcast.
Oh, thanks.
All the details will be in there.
Yeah, because an important thing.
Dark Horse let me do so much cool stuff. They've just been so encouraging for the creative process of this. And when I had that idea about like shooting a video that felt like an 80s horror host, I said, how do you guys feel about that? And they immediately jumped in and there's some just awesome people there, including this awesome woman named Kelly Wessner, who was kind of instrumental in producing and organizing the video shoot, which we did, on like a dime. And my friends at the Bob Baker Marionette Theater in Los Angeles let us come and use their space. And my friend Colin Shifley directed it. And my friend Bangani shot it. And my friend Kelly did my makeup. And it was just like, It was like putting on a play in your basement. It was so fun. So I hope I hope the comic book continues for a long time so I can keep making those goofy videos because that was so fun.
Yeah, because people need to know here. There's actually a final order cutoff date. If you want to participate and make sure your comic shop gets this, the final order date is September 30th. Okay. This book is going to be in shops on October 23rd. So make sure you hit your LCS. Here's your diamond code. I'm going to say it right now because I'm excited. Because I want people to get excited and make sure you give your comic shop this code. It's AUG 190245. That's the diamond order code for Count Crowley Reluctant Monster Hunter number 1 of 4. And after that, many more, I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha. How about a European date? Are we sending some over here?
It's available for, I mean, shops, it's in English, and any shops that want it can get it. So I got a message from a shop in Scotland recently, and so we need to spread the word across the globe that I don't believe they're doing any publications in other languages yet, although I'm really looking forward to that day. I hope the comic is popular enough that we end up getting to have multiple languages. But any English language speaking countries, I believe, can get the comic ordered to their shops.
So I shall speak to my local comic book shops.
Spread the word far and wide. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
I would love to come over. I was in Northern Ireland last year, and then I got down to Dublin for a day, but we were in Belfast shooting a film, and I would love to come back to Ireland. I want to go back.
You're more than welcome.
I'm coming, and I'm bringing the horror with me. I think there's a big fan base for that material all over, and so I want to, I just want to make sure people know about it so they get a chance to check it out.
I have a really good friend of mine who's a horror musician and also a horror comic book creator. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that the people that follow it. So there is a big community out there. So I'm sure they're going to just love it as much as we did.
All right. So, David, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I had a conversation with the former editor of First Comics, Bill Richardson. It was almost a year ago, right? And a couple of other friends. And at that point, they started saying, hey, there's something missing in the culture nowadays with the super inundation of superhero comics. Horror almost went to the side, until Cullen Bunn started picking stuff up and whatnot. Do you believe that's true? And why do you think that there's such a big resurgence in horror now?
I think because of publishers like Dark Horse, to be honest. I think that you've got the publisher and the independent publishing houses who are willing to get that voice back out there. They recognize the fact that there are so many fans of horror when it comes to the film genre, and it's such an exciting, captivating storytelling genre with which to explore. So I don't know why it went away, but it's been really cool to see how many, and I think you've got so many incredible writers, and creators that just thrive in the horror world. I loved, when I started reading Mike Mignola's stuff,
I remember thinking
he is totally mashing up all this incredible stuff. But then I got into everybody, Joe Hill, you name it. I think that there's so many talented, mm-hmm. people out there. Preacher has been was a fun one for me. And I feel like we need to get back with that awesome world. There's so many cool titles right now that are coming through with Dark Horse. And Dark Horse actually just has been re-releasing all the old creepy and eerie comics, which has been really fun too. And I think that's really cool. Kirkman's stuff is obviously had such a huge impact on the TV world, and then you see what it can do in the comics, and it was from comics. So I think there's so many fans out there that are hungry for this.
Yeah. I mean, with the comic, I don't know how you felt, but when Walking Dead number 1 first came out, I'm a zombie fan, always been a horror fan. So I picked it up immediately. I told all my friends, you got to check out this book. You know what their reply to me was? Oh, it's black and white. It's not going to last. My friend, like 2 years after the fact, then hits me up. Dude, you still got that number 1? You willing to sell it? I'm like, oh, now, right?
Yeah. Now it's cool. Yeah, no, I think that we're hopefully going to be in kind of the midst of what is a really cool, like you said, there's this resurgence going on. And it covers all age ranges and all styles. There's a more mythic, that Harrow County kind of look, which is really cool and beautiful. And like, mythic looking, and then just the straight up gore horror stuff, which is really fun. I was just reading the Vampyra Meets Reanimator, which is a blast. Yeah, yeah. Just totally splatter gore fun. You know, it's awesome, man. Walk Through Hell, there's so many good ones. Frankenstein.
Yeah, even Elvira, she's coming back.
Oh yeah,
not that she ever went away. Yeah. Let's be honest.
That's another horror host I hope I get to meet. You know, I and I like that there's also anthology comics that are kind of starting to resurge and get a lot of popularity. I thought that the Ice Cream Man idea was a really cool way of telling horror stories. It reminded me of, you know, Tales from the Crypt and Tales from the Dark Side kind of. Yeah,
the good old days when you read some sick horror stories that really did affect. I mean, that a three-panel story nowadays affects many creators where they wind up making a whole four-issue arc out of a three-page story that they read when they were a kid, you know, a continuation, if you will. And it's amazing that, you know, the old, you know, keeps inspiring all this new stuff. And, you know, stuff like the Count Crowley where, you know, again, you've made it, you've based it on a lot of, you know, stuff that you've grown up with and horror. You've made it fun. You've built one heck of a team. And Dark Horse Comics made the absolutely correct choice in being the home for Count Crowley. And I can't wait to actually pick up the book in my hands because I am a print man. So I can't wait.
We are print people here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Well, it means a lot to me. It really does. And thanks for, you know, taking the time to talk to me about it and sharing this with your followers and just being supportive. You know, we are, like you said earlier, it's like we are this community. And so, you know, I've attempted many things, failed at many, and have some have made it through. And this one is on its way to. I can't believe it. It's going to hit. It's going to hit fans.
Well, I've read it
in a matter of weeks.
I've read it. Whoa!
You've had somebody in Ireland read it already.
Look at that.
You know what I mean?
That's surreal to me. That blows my mind.
You're already traveling the world, bro. Awesome.
I'm sending a copy to Kevin Smith today, actually, so hopefully he digs it, because he's become a good friend of mine over the years, and we've worked on a number of, like, film things together, and so I'm excited to hear Kevin's input and thoughts on
it's definitely down the street.
All right, so
you guys got to go see Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, because I have a fun
time. I was at Hall H during San Diego, and I got to see, you know, that huge clip of theirs. Oh man, it is hysterical. It's so funny, and to see the I forget, I'm bad with names, but Supergirl, you know, being there and taking up.
Melissa
Benoit.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. You know, it was awesome. I can't wait till the movie comes out. So, Dave, so before we close out the show, you know, you are a person that has grown a lot and done many things. What advice would you give to people, you know, in regards to chasing their dreams?
Great. Thanks for asking me that. Never give up on yourself, and also never give up on the people that you love. You're going to have the darkest of times. We're all going to hit our bottoms in our respective journeys and on our paths. Just never give up on yourself. Never give up on those that you love, because it always gets better. And if you have the strength within you, or if you can lean on others to find the strength within you to keep persisting, to keep getting up, to keep showing up, to keep doing that thing that it is that you want to do, it will eventually break through. It might take longer than the year that you set the goal for. It might take longer than the 5 years that you set the goal for. But if every day you do something towards reaching that goal, and every single day you keep getting up and showing up and taking care of yourself and believing in yourself, you will get there. You will.
Yeah.
Beautifully said, man. Thank you. Inspire me.
Words to live by, my friend. Words to live by.
You just inspire the heck out of me,
guys,
to keep going. So with that,
thanks,
David. I was trying not to look at the pronunciation. David the small the small chin, right?
Nailed it.
Yay! With that, I'm Al Mega with Tracy and David. Make sure to, again, visit your comic shop October 23rd. For Count Crowley, Reluctant Midnight Monster Hunter. It's going to be a blast, folks. I'm Al Mega, Tracy David, UCPN, and we
this
out.
This is an Undercover Capes production.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit ComicCrusaders.com, UndercoverCapes.com, GeekreviewMagazine.com, and our newest venture, SplinteredPress.com.